no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
And welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel Avengers Allies. I am Epic Boss McFall, and I'm very, very excited today. We've got lots of news, lots of stuff to talk about. And, you know, I titled this SDCC News versus From the Helicarrier News, because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. And so that you can hear it, it sounds like it is still tied up, making sure everything's smoothed out, but I think it might be getting smoothed out. Cool?
No, it's all worked out. It's all good.
So that's the thing. It's like we hit start, then the problems just go away, which is the opposite of everything else I've ever done in my life. It's awesome. I like it. So that's Golden Age Emmett. We'll get back to him in a second with some headlines and cool stuff going on. But you're with us, already getting some rants out of the way so he can be happy on the show. So, Boss Klotz.
Yeah. Arguing on the internet is fruitful.
Don't feed the raptors, man. That's not cool. So I assume, a little side note, even though it's not related, everybody's seen Jurassic World. You should have. If you haven't by now, you're missing out. So that's a little one side note for today. Emmett, we've got some headlines.
Yes, we do. First off, we're going to talk about some news from SDCC pertaining specifically to Marvel Avengers Alliance. Justin Woods, producer Woods, got on screen and talked about, for a few minutes, about some of the things coming soon. So we'll talk about that. Spec Ops 28 launched as we expected that it would, and bringing a bunch of ants. So clean out all that food from outside, from underneath your desk, because that's attracting them. We got Quake. So we'll talk a little bit about Quake, PvP progress, and we're happy to announce that we've got a new show coming with our network, which is going to get rebranded. So all sorts of cool stuff that we're going to be talking about on today's show. But how should people be spending those hard-earned gold bars and CP points and stuff, Paul?
I do not know.
Or should they be?
I think they should be spending them on our Patreon account. That's what I think they should.
Well,
do.
We don't take gold bars or command points.
But CP I will take points is like saying so.
CP points is like saying ATM machine. That P represents points. So what's the point?
Well, Paul, you look up Paul was busy starting off. We had a very, very rushed meeting beforehand, and he had some other stuff going on. He's going to get the sales going on. I'll go ahead and give the shout outs while you're doing next. We've got some great shout outs to do today. Agent Four Way Flashers has made it in. And actually, I think I fought you before, sir, at PvP. I don't know about this tournament, but I think I've seen you come across. Agent Agent Pankey has made it in. And Agent Pankey made me very happy, as did Agent Shepard FTH, because there's certain agents in our group that are either in the Agents Only Lounge, I see them all the time, or that listen and just chat with me sometimes through Facebook. It really, really makes me excited that somebody I've never heard of before pops up and goes, "Hey, celebrate me. I'm always, I'm a Spartan now." And that's great. It tells us you're listening. It makes me so happy. So thank you, guys. And Agent Shepard FDH actually has a note with his 300. It says, "Hi, guys. Just wanted to let you know I made level 300 as a Platinum refugee. I never would have made it without your support and the sense of community you bring to the game. Thank you. This is Sparta."
Nice.
So thanks. Thanks, Agent Shepard. That's awesome. This is Klotz. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, I had a couple CVEs to battle through.
Somebody reboot Klotz.
So, we have a new character, a new 90 CP character. One and only Daisy, a.k.a. Quake, is out. She's been out for a few days, so you can go recruit her with your CP. We also have the new Spec Ops 28 64 gold item, the Mandible, which appears to be a yellow jacket themed item. color wise, but as part of the Formican set. I'm sorry. And Age of Ultron, Vision. You got one more day. It should end at midnight tomorrow night. So if you did not get the costume or costumes that you wanted to get for Ultron, now is the time.
Or Vision.
Or, yeah, Age of Ultron.
Oh, I would so get...
Sorry, I got a little Future Fight in my head.
I know, you can play Ultron in Future Fight.
And they're usually played on the same team, so... also, Vision's eISO is available.
For another day or so, right?
Yep. And, again, we still have toolboxes available. If you don't have Fixer, he's a good guy to get. Mm-hmm. And we have some PvP items, but... they did not do what they did before, at least not so far. That doesn't mean that there couldn't be like an 11th hour patch again. Because I think they adjusted one of the Spec Ops items one time to do that. And I was like, oh no, what are you doing?
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure one of the times, yeah. But I could be mistaken. But yeah, that's what we got on sale right now. So, you know.
They got me with the Vision alts. I was at 120 something CP. And I didn't win Victor. You know, I missed out on Adamantium, that PvP. And I need him for this Spec Ops, right?
Right.
And I was going to get, and then they dropped Vision. And so I spent all my CP on Vision alts. And now I'm farming. Actually, I'm waiting for the gold sale. I'm being heralded as the king of filthy casuals in our group.
Yeah, Wallet Warrior.
You could just farm it. There's 25 days. Like, no, there's 25 days. But I want it now. So,
Still not going to get enough. You're waiting for the gold sale. You might as well farm CP while you're at it. Daily missions, 5-star.
Boom. You know, people make it sound like you can farm like 80 CP in an afternoon.
Right.
It's not quite that
some
easy.
Some can, man. Henry Devereaux, or maybe it's Henry McCray. I got two Henrys I talk to all the time. One of the two is a farming beast. I mean, every time he starts a conversation with me, he's like, hey, what's your CP at? And I'll let him know. And he goes, yeah. He's not bragging. He's just saying, hey, this is cool, right? And he gets up to 400 or 500, and then he buys 3 or 4 characters, gets down to nothing, and then goes 400 or 500 more in the next week. I'm like, man, you're a beast.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Wow. I imagine, you know, you could, there's probably some sort of Windows macro you can, no, I'm not condoning any sort of 112.2 Windows macro thing that you could possibly do. Well,
what's funny is I immediately, since they're giving me grief about farming, I went to 112.2 and flew through it through the first battle. I didn't do the epic is the last thing of the night. I haven't done the epic yet. Got 3 CP. I'm like, all right, fine. I guess I can farm some of this.
There you go. So. You know what? Try it until the gold sale comes out, because the worst case scenario is you have a crap ton of CP and you still end up buying gold, and then you can use that crap ton of CP for the Hawkeye alt that's going to be coming.
Yeah. See, I got to get that. I got to get Daisy. Scarlet Witch. By the way, we're heralded. FTH from Medicare is being heralded across the internet wide as being responsible for Daisy coming to the game.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that a while ago.
We've talked about that a lot.
How cool would it be? Yeah, I mean, how cool would it be to add Quake to the game and kind of start seeing some of those...
And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Quake, which is not quite what they did, but the bio kind of ties it in, I think.
Isn't that... But the... Deathlock is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Deathlock, though, right? It's not the...
Kind of, he's the Marvel Now version, so that's close. That's as close as they're going to get.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of those current events, because Quake was part of that whole thing that Justin Woods was talking about when he was interviewed for the San Diego Comic-Con. So let's get that out of the way. Quake, new character, Daisy Johnson. You might know her by a different name, but we're not going to say that just in case you're not caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But so Quake was not really announced by Woods because it was released before.
You know, we've spoiled that before, right?
Have we already said okay?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's more than 2 weeks. You know, and it's what's his face? Vince Gilligan, Breaking Bad. He went out in public and said the spoiler line is 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, if you're crazy enough about something to be ticked off that it gets spoiled, you had many opportunities to see it yourself before it got spoiled. So I stand behind Vince Gilligan and his silly Tennessee sounding accent.
Well, he grew up on an island. What do you want?
With the skipper and Marianne. All right. So the things that Justin Woods did announce that were things that we didn't know. A bunch of Spider characters are coming. Spider-Verse Part 2 is going to be bringing a lot of other characters with it and probably even further releases down the line. Spider-Girl, Anya Corazon. Spider-Man 2099.
But didn't she change her name to Arcane? Is that the same character who changes her name to Arcane? Spider-Girl?
Maybe. It's the white. It's the...
Yes. Yes. She changes to Arcane because... something I read recently, I think it might have been Civil War. Somebody asked her about it and she's like, well, with all the Spider-Girls running around there, it got confusing. So,
right,
yeah, cool. Yeah, okay. I'll just make sure I'm on the same page. Good. Cool.
Oh, that's you're awesome. Thinking Arachne, right? The black and white...
that might be. Dude, I'm a little dyslexic. The Arcane, Arachne, is all I'll say, right?
All right. Yeah. Spider-Man 2099 coming. So we're going to have Miguel O'Hara joining the crew. Silk, Spider-Gwen, Mayday Parker, which I'm not familiar with. May Parker, what's...
Aunt May?
No. It's, she's another Spider Girl, but what's her, I'm trying to remember what she's kind of got the, Miles Morales uniform looking thing, the ultimate Spider-Man looking thing going on.
Not familiar with that. Klotz, you know anything about
it? It's all
that?
This stuff in,
I know nothing.
Yeah, but it's like it's another, you know, she's kind of got the red and black costume, but it's like I said, it's very similar to the Miles Morales version of Ultimate, where he's got his legs are all blue or all black, and then the top is where all the red is.
Arenos and some others, unknown race is saying daughter of Peter and Mary Jane.
There you go.
I love Agent Blade 2099 hashtag nerd tears. Yeah, I was stoked to see the sprite for 2099 and that it's coming to the game.
I still have my first issue sealed up.
So good.
Really?
Worth like a dollar. But yes,
yeah, I was going to say, it was back in the day when Marvel thought they could stick a number one on anything and it would just rocket up to the in value. So lots of spiders are going to be coming along. We don't know how they're going to be released. Obviously, there's a picture of Arachne, thanks to Mark Parrott. It's the black and white. It's kind of like the Jessica Drew Spider-Woman black costume, Venom costume version.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
Anyway, sorry.
So Spider-Gwen, I'm excited about, really I'm excited about all these because I've been digging in Marvel Unlimited and reading a ton of the Spider-Verse miniseries. I hadn't read that before, so I've been delving into it. And they had a little bit of a gap in the past couple of weeks where the issues that were being added to Marvel Unlimited did not include any Spider-Verse. So I've been waiting on pins and needles to kind of get through the rest of the story of the dudes that consume all the spider totems, you know, and we saw one of them, we saw Karn in the last Spec Ops. So what do you think of all of the spider activity that's going to be coming down the line? See, we know that producer Woods loves Spider-Man.
Right.
But
he's got to be on a nut high right now, right?
Yeah,
like,
no
just
kidding.
Like, I'm king of the world. I can write whatever I want. Make it happen. I think it's great. Like,
I think it's great too, but I think we're going to get... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The bridge troll part of me loves the fact that people were starting to complain about how many spider characters we were getting. And then they announced like four more, you know, all this, like all way more content that could possibly fit in the next half of the Spec Ops.
Exactly.
So yeah, like I'm loving it. And I think the characters they've chosen are great. I think it's going to add a lot of, the other thing is, I think it's a clear indication that they're like, we kind of like can't do a whole lot with Fantastic Four and X-Men anymore. So we better start pumping out some characters from other books.
Yeah.
And I think this is, obviously a good place to do it.
Though, my worry is that we're going to get just a rash of these spider characters, all one right after another, and no other characters in between. Like, you know, I'm not going to name all the characters that we've talked about that we'd like to see in the game, but, you know, there's still some young Avengers we'd probably like to see in the game. I think we've exhausted all the Runaways, but, and I guess they did the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. They did the same thing with Runaways, where we got just nothing but for a little while.
The, they haven't touched the zombie verse yet. We haven't got zombie characters.
So. Yeah, but should we get those as alts as opposed to...
I don't want them at all. I'm being facetious as crap. Please do not ever do that to my game. I'd prefer to stay zombie-free. But,
you know that if this thing goes on long enough, if this game goes on long enough, there's going to be a zombie Spec Ops, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to get alt versions of a lot of the main characters.
Zombie Spec Ops would be amazing.
Okay, it would be, but it was... I guess it could change the canon, but it was straight up Reed Richards' fault. 100%.
Yeah, well, he's a super villain. What did you expect?
It could still be Reed Richards' fault. You know, with this thing going on with the other studios, with Fox and Sony, they could, well, at least with Fox, they could just make all the bad things be caused by Fantastic Four and X-Men characters from now on. just say, oh, yeah, you know, all that stuff that happened with Axis and the bad guys became good guys. Yeah, that's all thanks to Reed Richards and... if it weren't for Gambit.
Okay, so here's the thing about zombies. Like, I was a fan of the run. I thought it was really well done. I wasn't as much of a fan of the crossover with Army of Darkness, but I see why they did it. Because it just broke canon. Like, it was like, oh, we're just totally.
But that's the whole point of it, I think.
But it's fun as a separate thing.
Yeah, yes.
However... they've done the zombie alts as Chases and HeroClix. And the way that they've done it is that they all have the zombie mechanic is shared among all of them. They all have the same mechanic. And if they did something similar with MAA, where all the zombie alts all have a shared mechanic, they feed off of each other. if they're paired up together, something like that would be incredible. Because they've done some really, really sweet art. There's tons of art assets out there for the zombie versions of these characters, and it would be freaking cool. And if they could have a unified mechanic that feeds off each other, but it would also have a weakness. Like I would say make it weak to the hallowed function. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tie it into that. So like that they take extra damage from all those things and whatnot. But yeah, there's potential there. The biggest thing that I think that they would shy away from it because of is how gruesome and violent it is. Even though this is comic books.
Yeah. It's pretty rough.
I mean, spoilers, if you haven't read something that came out 10 years ago, in the very first issue, Magneto decapitates zombie Captain America with his own shield.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, there's some pretty gruesome imagery in there, which is probably my favorite scene of the entire run, by the way. So, yeah, there's lots of potential there.
Yeah, maybe we don't need character alts, but I do like having some sort of Marvel zombie. Because that thing was, you know, it's treated as canon to the point that it's part of Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's obviously, and that's got to be one of the bigger Spec Ops things that's coming. They could do many different mini Spec Ops within one big series.
Yeah, but that's going to be a while. They might not make it that far because I'm sure they'd do Secret Wars with the movie.
They would do Secret Wars with the end of the comic event, I think.
Yeah, there's not going to be a Secret War. You're talking Civil War? What are you talking about, James?
No, I thought there would maybe... I thought they announced a Secret Wars as well. After Civil War and after Infinity, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think you dreamed it.
I do that a lot, apparently.
I believe that you believe it.
It was all a dream.
Exactly. I think... like I said, I could see Secret Wars being like a multi-part Spec Ops and all the different Battle World stuff. Let's see. Okay, so that wraps up the Spiders. He also, big thanks to Agents Only Lounge member Kilgara, who got through with a Twitter question during SDCC, which Justin Woods answered, asking about Winter Soldier. And the way Woods phrased it was something like, oh yeah, fans of Winter Soldier are going to have something to be really happy about in the next couple months.
Okay.
Nice.
So maybe he's going to become a lockbox character. Is a guess. It's a prominent guess. What else we got? He announced that the next worthy is Nerkad, but he wasn't sure if Nerkad was the breaker of storms or the breaker of
breaker of oceans.
Yeah. So, so he doesn't even keep up on that thing. All we know is that Nerkad is the next worthy,
which there's been a lot of speculation that Black Knight is probably the shoo-in for that based on costume and whatnot,
really?
Which could be cool. But I'd be fine with just about anybody.
Now, just a little spoiler or teaser or whatever you want to say, PXP is working, that's panel by panel with myself and Uncle George. We're working on a Fear Itself show currently.
Nice.
And I actually was under the impression that Namor was Nerkad, but that is not the case.
No, it's Atma.
Yeah. So.
Who's a Namor villain.
Right. So even though we probably won't get Namor in the game, we could. I know they're veering away from it, but it just was the mechanics of it. It's like we could still get characters from the Namor universe, just not Namor himself, because I believe rights and all that.
Like there's some comments about it in chat right now, too. Yeah, they can't do Namor. Like,
right.
They've pretty much come out and said they can't touch the character. They're not allowed to. They're just. It's a big solid no for rights reasons. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to see him. We're not going to probably see anything that was strictly out of his books.
See, Comic Angel says Storm is the shoe-in, which I'd actually more agree with Storm than Black Knight. Because, I mean, if you're the breaker of oceans, you need to be able to do something with water, I would think.
Seems logical. Yeah,
it all depends. I don't know.
Hey, it's really hard to guess this one. So, but they did announce that Nekrod's next, so that's cool.
Right.
What other greatness did they announce? I missed all of this. This is all news to me.
It was just a 5-10 minute thing in between segments. The Marvel feed wasn't a show feed. Like, you know, you weren't seeing panels and things. You were seeing whoever had something to sell. Like the Funko brother folks brought stuff. The Collectors Corps people brought stuff, and they just would come on the feed and say, "Hey, here's some of the toys we've got at the show, and here's some great things coming from Collectors Corps and stuff like that." So it wasn't you weren't seeing panels, you were seeing
it was a giant commercial.
That's where I got mixed up with the next Collectors Corps box has been announced, and it's Secret Wars.
Oh, cool! That's Yeah. Movie, box of toys. I could totally see how you'd get those two things.
I don't remember the damn weapons in the game, Ibby. You know, it's not like this is new. This isn't the first time this has happened. Just saying.
All right. Let's see.
I want to backtrack for just a second. When you're talking about Spider-Verse, has that actually made Marvel Unlimited yet? Or are we still waiting on that?
Yeah, no, it's made a lot of the stories. Most of the series has made it to Marvel Unlimited. The final issues of everything haven't. But if you were to start, if you were to get Marvel Unlimited now and start reading Spider-Verse, probably about the time that you were ready for them, you'd start getting those other issues that kind of close things out. They're through the issues that came out in January, the first couple of weeks in January. I'm not sure how. Let's see how long the Spider-Verse thing went. But we're pretty close. We're pretty close to having everything. We have enough in there that you'll get a really good flavor for the story before part two starts.
We're also hearing that it was confirmed that Storm will not be Nerkad.
Oh, really? It's been confirmed?
Yes.
All right.
She is not going to be Nerkad. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it looks like it only goes, some epilogue stuff happens in February, but for the most part, Spider-Verse was wrapped up in, January of this year. So, it's pretty close to finishing up in Marvel Universe, probably next week or week after. We should get a lot of the last issues. It's really worth it too, especially if you've got Marvel Unlimited, because the story spans so many different series, Scarlet Spiders, Spider-Woman, Amazing Spider-Man, of course, and then there's an actual Spider-Verse series as well, so you get to see a lot of these people, including the Japanese Spider-Man and Spectacular Spider-Ham. You get them all. There's a Spider-Monkey. which is just a monkey in a spider costume.
There's a real thing in the world called a spider monkey.
There really is a thing. The real thing. That was about it for what Woods talked about. I can't remember. I think there was another question that came up about when are we going to see such and such again? He's like, I don't have any. We don't have any plans on that. Or it was just the typical stuff they just can't talk about, and they don't want to set people's expectations up for. So that was it for Justin Woods at SDCC. Let's talk a little bit about the Spec Ops that just came out. So Enter Ant-Man just came out, Spec Ops 28. Well, been around now for 4 or 5 days. How are you guys doing with it, first of all?
I'm on the last research currently.
Nice. You're ahead of me, I think, for a change.
Yeah, I was like, usually I take it aside. I just kind of jumped in as I could, and it just has worked out to where I got my steps done and did the next research and got those steps done. And so, yeah, that's
cool.
I'm on there. What about you, Klotz?
I'm in the middle. This past weekend was pre-release for the new Magic set, so I was not home, at all. Like, I left Friday and was out until 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday and then went back at noon on Saturday. Saturday, 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So, when I realized that the Spec Ops had hit, while I was out and busy all weekend, I was super, super sad for a minute. But I did manage to get in and log in each day and keep that going. But I'm past the first research. I'm coming up on the second research. So I got to pick up my pace a little bit, but it's mostly just been an availability thing.
Yeah, people probably, at least Agents Only Lounge members who were waiting for the task list, the little prettified task list that I put together, didn't see it until Saturday, and I'm usually try to be a little bit more on the ball when the actual list is released, but that was about the time I actually got a chance to start doing anything in Spec Ops. It was about a day and a half after it got unleashed. So I just finished about an hour ago the third research, the Yellow Jacket gun, basically, and I just have to use it in missions. What, that 16, 17 number out of 25. So yeah. I should, I'll have it by the weekend, 36 hour research. I've been collecting ISOs and things like that so that I've got enough stockpile that I can breeze right through it, at least up to the next research and then beyond. But so far, so good. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward, we don't have anything funky with this one as far as strike teams or even a lockbox character. It's all pretty straightforward, but it just feels like a good solid Spec Ops. The only really big earth-changing thing is just the addition of the AI cells that you can now farm for. So as you're farming for weapons, you can also be farming for these new AI cells. Which, if the Runaways Spec Ops is going to be any indication, we'll probably be able to buy these later on. But obviously, you save yourself some gold if you try and farm them now.
Yeah, absolutely. Every little bit you can save is a good thing. Although, I'm not entirely sure I'd spend gold on these AISOs. I don't remember what they all are, but I remember flipping through somebody in our group had put up a slideshow, if you will, of the individual character paired with the new AISO, and it tells what it does. I didn't necessarily go, ooh, I want that. I was like,
right. None of them felt like required, we've got to have this one kind of thing. We'll see. We might start seeing characters get used in PvP that haven't been used in a while.
Yeah.
Because of AISO changes, but...
And I haven't seen links to it, but I heard there was a stealth patch to Moonstone in general.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's what I've heard. Somebody's like, hey, did you see the stealth patch to Moonstone? I'm like, no, do you have a link? And then I didn't hear anything back. So I don't have any way to confirm it, but I've been told that there was a patch to her. She was one of those characters that was just a little too complicated to really get a good strategy on. I mean, she was good, she was powerful, but it just didn't flow with any of my teams. And I don't know that her ASO would change that at all.
So. Interesting. Okay.
Who knows?
Good to know. Let's see. PvP obviously still going on. What do we have? We just have a few days left, less than probably right around a week, right? Or a week and a couple days. Let me pull it up right here.
While you pull that up, last week was me going back to PvP. He's just going back to everything today, this week.
Back Spec to the Spider-Verse.
For Spec Ops, here's a strategy that we tend to forget. And I was asked to remind you people, since we definitely are trying to bridge the gap between the 200s and the 300s and the 100s. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You can do a lot of things in Spec Ops outside of Spec Ops. Anytime you have to use a weapon in battle, that's not a Spec Ops thing. You can do it in anywhere, PvP, simulator, anywhere you want to fight a battle, you can use those weapons. Using a character, same thing. Take Hank Pym into battle, any battle. So save your ISO, unless you know, like Ibit tends to see things in the long game. So it's like, hey, I've got a 3-star, 4-star, 5-star these anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play through looking at the long game. But some people like myself, I like to go, hey, anything that can conserve ISO, I'm going to do outside of Spec Ops. So just keep that in mind. Sure. You can do that.
Yeah, and there's some there's things that sound like they could be done outside of Spec Ops that can't. For example, fighting Whiplash.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go to it. You can go to another chapter and fight him, but it's not going to count towards the thing. But yeah, all those things you described. I think doing deploys mm-hmm. is another one. Mm-hmm.
Weapons, characters that you team up with, and deploys are all can be done outside of Spec Ops, typically. Yep.
Yeah, and I'm notorious for getting the task where it says use distress call. Use 3 distress calls.
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I get to use a distress call. And then I go into a fight and then I like, boom, oh, I'm going to destroy you. And I take out all the enemies and I'm like, oh, I was supposed to use a distress call in that fight. Yeah, I forgot. So, be aware of what you were actually working on in each of the steps. And of course, if you have not checked out the PDF for the current Spec Ops, it's available in the Agents Only Lounge. It's also on the From the Helicarrier Facebook page. And you guys are welcome to share that around to all the Marvel Universe sites you go to. Back to PvP. Is anyone seeing any like frequent teams? I think the first team I've actually gotten beaten by was today. And it was an Enchantress Pestilence team that was just must have been ISO'd up to the max, man, or armory bonused up to the max. But they destroyed it.
I've seen a couple of different teams. The Enchantress has been paired up with a bunch of people.
Yeah, Enchantress Loki is pretty common.
I saw Enchantress Null, which was very interesting. I killed him, but it was very interesting.
There is only one Enchantress team. It is when she is paired with Beast, and it is the worst.
It is a difficult team, yeah.
However, I don't know, man. I don't want to give away my tip because like, as soon as you give away the tip, Playdom listens and they nerf it. But there's a gun called the Skeptic, and that really changes a lot of that for you.
It's not like that's the. I mean, maybe using it in PvP is not as well known, but I've seen the Skeptic pulled out a lot in defensive teams. So
yeah, so it's something that I've been enjoying using. I see that Quick Lord, man. If they are armored to be a glass cannon, mm-hmm. they blow me away every single time.
That one comes right down to turn order.
Yeah. You know,
the Pestilence Enchantress can go many different ways, but if for Quick Lord to work, man, it really depends on what order. Obviously, Quicksilver's going to go first, but who's on the other team, who's going to go second, whether it's the Agent or Star-Lord. I'm facing an Iceman and Anti-Venom team right now, which there's a combo I don't think I've ever seen.
No.
They're already down to half health.
I know a lot of people, or not a lot of people, I've seen a few fussing about matchmaking. I know early in the PvP season, people were bringing up that they're only making a +1 or +2 in victories, and it's just a trudge. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing that currently. I'm in high vibranium, and I'm staying there mostly because every time I get close to adamantium, I get this weird wild hair. And I'm like, I'm going to play with a different team now. and then, you know, make some mistakes or whatever because my strategy, every team has different strategies. So I don't,
sure.
Yeah. So I lose some ground. So I'm staying within the 150%, you know, 1.5% to 0.8% range. But I've been paying attention to my points in defense and offense. Wins and losses stay in the same neighborhood between 15 and 19 points. I haven't had that +1, +2 thing going on.
Right, yeah, it doesn't seem like we're seeing that anymore, thank goodness. things seem like they're a lot better now, which is good because, I mean, with just a little over a week left, you want to make sure that your fights actually mean something, that they count for something.
Oh, and even Playdom actually, you know how we've talked about Playdom hates cheaters. They hate the mm-hmm. guys who use codes. In High Vibranium, I ran into a team that had 6,000 health. I can't remember the idiot setup they had. And I destroyed them going, well, you know, a win's a win. Check the points. Still got 15 points for it.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Thank you, Playdom. That was cool.
All right.
So it works. I'm not saying it will always work that way. It just happened to work that way for me that day. So I took it. I took it and I ran with it. What about you, Ibbet? Where are you sitting as far as the rankings go?
About 1,300, 1,400. This, since we're a week out, this is about where I start making a push for getting up into like 1,600, 1,700. So I've got a cushion. I don't want last day to come and be riddled with CVEs. I'm trying to make my way right up and break the adamantium banner or barrier. I'd much rather have it further up and work that way. But, we'll see. It doesn't feel like there's anything, again, monumental, game-changing about this PvP. I'm seeing a lot of the same teams that I saw before, so I'm able to use the same offensive team that I've been using in the same agent build-out. So how about you, Paul? Had any time to do PvP?
Not much. I'm in Diamond. I have the same problem I had last season where I just don't have enough heroes maxed out to compete enough to punch into. I've been in Vibranium for a while and then popped out last night. But I run into the same wall again as I usually do. So it's until I can hit 300 and get my characters leveled up, I'm not going to be able to punch into adamantium reliably.
Sure.
At least that's my belief currently. Something might change.
Well, hopefully the ATM of the group boss that we just had helped out a lot with the progress.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because I know I got a lot of mine trained. I went into that last Spec Ops with a whole 3 pages of needs training, and currently I'm still sitting at over 600,000 silver, and every once in a while I have somebody pop out with training now. So they're not all 14s, but I got a lot of the big trainings out of the way. I cleared house, basically, so everybody gets trained as they come up now.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the same place where I'm basically, I don't have anybody who's ready for training. I have some people, everybody, Kate, Bishop, and after is working their way up to needing to be trained. And I really should just be flight decking them since I'm doing spec ops and PvP right now. So I should just be leveling the new Spider-Man and Kate and Quake on the flight deck. So that's what's going on there. Also, next up, are we done talking about PvP?
Until we get to the next segment, then, you know, we get to go back to it.
But I'd better check. We have an announcement of a new show coming to the network, as well as a change to the branding of the network. Now, when we started this, and actually when Charles started this, the show was called Hero Unexpected. I joined in and got all bitchy about the name, and Charles relented and changed it.
It's not exactly how it went, but that's, you did inspire a change. I'll go with that. You inspired some change.
And From the Helicarrier was born. And we've been treating that temporarily as the name of the network. So, right, it's, you know, the show's From the Helicarrier, the network is the Helicarrier. We've, you know, just in conversations that we have on this show and even off the air with Charles, Paul, and I, we know that there's a lot of stuff around this world of the video game that we want to talk about. And we feel like maybe the Helicarrier, maybe this show is not the best place to talk about the new season of Arrow or the Terminator movie or Jurassic World or whatever.
Right.
And so we're going to be introducing a brand new show coming to the network. The network, we're rebranding as the Giant Size Team Up Network or Giant Size Team Up Network. And of course, it contains that's basically a nod to everything comic book related. And we are, the things we do are giant sized. You know, we can't keep a show under 30 minutes to save our lives or even an hour. Plus, you know, maybe speaking for myself anyway, I could probably work out a little bit more. So the giant size moniker works on a bunch of different levels. Giant size team up, and we're going to be announcing a new show here called Breaking the Panel, that is going to be a general discussion show about news in the comic book and comic book movie and all those related worlds, gaming, comics, all that stuff, as well as discussions, a panel discussion about current topics. One of the things we want to talk about is, you know, San Diego Comic-Con and the trailers that they released there. How long should they wait before they release those trailers to the outside world so that the people who spent money and went to San Diego Comic-Con still feel like they're getting a benefit, but that the rest of us who can't get out there still get kind of don't feel like we're being shafted. Things like that. So within the next 2 weeks or so, I feel pretty comfortable in saying within the next 2 weeks, we'll actually have the first episode of that out there and available. And we're really, really excited about that. And we'll have some other goodies and things related to that that we'll be happy to tell you about.
Al Snorko is like, psh, the Daily Bugle Network was better because I thought of that one.
Listen, if we were worried about Marvel coming after us for use of the helicarrier, I think they'd be even more irritated with the use of Daily Bugle. Actually, Ryan Penagos from Marvel was the guy who I had a Twitter discussion with, direct message discussion on Twitter, and said, hey, we're talking about naming our show from the helicarrier.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, Marvel won't have any problem with that. And he was being, like, he wasn't saying that sarcastically, like, yeah, Marvel won't have any problem with that. He, you know, said, as long as you're not trying to sell helicarrier branded hats and t-shirts. Mm.
Which is that kind of kept us back, because at some point we're like, ooh, we want to make it. No, we can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But so, we can do giant size team up t-shirts.
That we can. And I'm very excited. We've gone through some iterations there. And, you know, as everybody knows, I just blanked. Our movie show, Marvel Cinematic Universe, MCU cast is the first outside show that signed on with us. They'll be coming along with the Giant Size Team Up Network. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be looking at some more. And, of course, Kingfisher is going to be a main part of that network as well, as he's been as part of the show. And we're definitely looking for more shows, more ways of doing media, both video and audio. So if you have something that's going on, like Pokey Professor, I'm looking at you. We've already been incorporating you here into this. There's the Nerdgasm Hour, somebody that we're kind of looking at and seeing how we can help them out and if they'll fit with what we're doing. Those kind of things. If you have a show, if you have an idea, hit us up at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com, because we haven't set up any of the new accounts yet. And we'll take a look. Or if you know somebody, if you listen, that's the more important one. If you listen to a cast about the Arrow, or if you listen to a cast about anything comic related, movies, TV specific, Dark Horse, what's coming out this week, anything like that that fits with our personality, we'd love to know about it. So then we can take a look and see if they would fit with what we're doing. And of course, Breaking the Panel, I wanted to go today, and the guy's like, no, we really have to get this right. I'm like, you're right, I want to go today. So, but we're very excited, is what I'm saying. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. And with that, I think it is time for Kingfisher.
All right.
So let me grab the right mouse here, get on the right page. You know, all this time you were setting up, I'm like, yeah, I'm just nodding my head. Yeah, like, I could have been getting prepared. That'd have been nice.
Okay, then I'm going to take a second now.
All right, take a second.
Since I told you guys before the show, I've been talking about rolling out my gaming show for a while.
Yes.
And I've also, in the brainstorming session of arriving at names for our network and our new show, I came up with a name for my gaming show, which will focus primarily on tabletop, but also some, you know, video games as well. And it is going to be Come Out and Play the Podcast.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Somebody's asking where are the links for these new shows. We haven't done anything. And FDH site, thehelicarrier.com, will actually point you to where we're going to land. We're going to set up all new websites. We're going to set up links to everything. As we actually solidify a lot of this stuff in the next week or two, you'll be seeing announcements. So watch the Facebook page, facebook.com/FromTheHelicarrier, and watch thehelicarrier.com. And, of course, if you're in the Ancients Only Lounge, you'll probably hear about it there first. So, but I'm very excited, Klotz. You got a name, and a name is important. It's going to move you forward, and I can't wait to hear the episodes that you come forward with. So, now,
cool. Let's hear this.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher, 745, and this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now, last week's segment, or at least the video portion, was on phased characters, I believe. And as far as that video, it will be out soon. But of course, a brand new Spec Ops launched, and also a general release character. So we got Quake, aka Daisy Johnson, or Sky from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What?
And I, for one, love that show. So the good news is, Sky's in the game. And the great news is, she's an awesome character. She actually has quite a bit of potential. And so this week's All Hail the King video will focus on her. I think her team-ups are fairly obvious in that we're going to first use her with Avalanche, and also the King of the Inhumans, Black Bolt. These characters both have sonic attacks, and so that will certainly help her out. But also, because she has that Finest Hour on her level 9, which by the way is a pretty interesting move. If you haven't seen it already, I'm going to have it in a video very soon. But for that level 9, we can bring in another character that has rising up buffs. Now, Heimdall would give all of them at once, and so he's certainly a viable team up. But instead, we're going to bring in Iron Fist. He's just one of my favorite characters in PvP, or PvE for that matter. And so that'll be our third team up. So with the video portion leading off today, you can probably guess what we're going to talk about. The new Spec Ops and the San Diego Comic-Con. So first of all, the new Spec Ops character is Ant-Man, and I don't think there's any surprises there. He seems like he's going to be a decent character, but a lot of people hate that he's an infiltrator. It makes sense to me though. And hey, scrappers aren't that scary anymore. At least not to me. They have to contend with my Bruiser Safeguard agent. So good luck. I guess it may come down to how many scrapper Quicksilvers you run into. But a Bruiser agent and the Hugin's Eye can really make him pay. Anyways though, we'll talk more about him once we get him, which should be in only about 2 days, maybe less. Then as far as the current set, I don't think I really paid that much attention to it. I'm sure it'll be great on an opportunist team, and I like the fact that the Carapace has special functionality, but until I see or hear something, I'm not really that concerned with getting it. And part of me may be thinking that way because I highly doubt I'm going to get enough components to build this set. The drop rate for me has been horrendous. I've run missions multiple times, and I think only one just enough to cover my researches. Not one single extra component. And that's doing all deploys as well. To give you some contrast, in the last Spec Ops, I had components to spare. And so I was able to complete the entire set. This time, I better win 1,000 Unstable Ice Await, if I'm even going to have a prayer. But other than that, the boss battles have been interesting, and I'm happy that there's AISO to win, though I haven't gotten any of those either. But we're going to keep at it, and hopefully we get a little luck. But moving on to the Comic-Con news, there's going to be quite a few Spider-Men and women coming out. Well, mostly women and one man, but I think they're all great choices. The only disappointment is, they should have come out with the hoodie-wearing Scarlet Spider. That's the obvious candidate that they missed. A great character and an even greater costume. Come on, PD, how could you miss him? But at least Spider-Man 2099 looks fantastic, and he was a childhood favorite of mine, so I can't wait to recruit him. I can't really remember how much I love the comics, but I love the costume. So after the announcement of all the Spider characters, we really didn't get a whole lot more. But Winter Soldier, I assume as a lockbox character, is going to be a great addition, and I'm very excited for the Breaker of Oceans, which hopefully means the next chapter is really close. Don't get me wrong though, I still have plenty to farm, as I've been running a few missions constantly, and just cannot win. I'm still going after Black Knight's AISO, and I had to run that at least 70 times. Also, I'm still trying to farm This is Sparta, and that's one I really need for poor man's PvP. But hey, maybe I'll win them all today. And I'm just trying to keep high spirits. Wish me luck and good luck to all of you in Spec Op 28, as well as the PvP season, which I've heard for many is getting a ton of refresh errors. So far, I've been lucky and haven't run into any, but I probably will now that I've said that. I'm sure I jinxed myself. So hey, hopefully the guys talk about that and PD hears it and fixes it. But as for today's segment, we have come to the end. So I want to thank you all for listening and then send it back to the hosts.
Did he say 70?
70 times to rerun to try and get the Black Knight.
He hasn't got it yet.
Wow.
I kind of felt that way about Iron Fist. I must have run that 20 or 30 times. I just stopped counting because it gets depressing. You just keep going after it.
Oh, yeah.
This is Sparta weapon. I remember it coming out because of the label on it.
Right.
But I don't remember what it does at all.
It's a boot. Yeah, it's a, what's it a boot? It's a Canadian boot. And the lame thing is that it's a difficult one to search for because it's like 5P, there it is. Yeah, it's D1S-I5-5P4R7A. It's a preemptive attack, so it has a chance to perform a preemptive counter when attacked. And the next offensive action, it's a depower weapon. So if you kick them with the Dis's Sparta, then the next offensive action no longer applies harmful or beneficial effects.
Okay. I got you.
It is a good weapon to have. I remember seeing that when the chapter came out and saying, wow, we need that.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of the depowered weapons for the agent. Or even despair. You don't have a lot of despair weapons either for the agent. So it's very cool. So Lost Grace, I have not seen any of Quake's animations because I spent all my stuff on Vision.
So I haven't run her in anything yet. But I'm looking forward to, it's funny. Obviously, I was going to pair her up with Avalanche, but after hearing his description of Iron Fist, that actually sounds like it'll be a fun combo.
Yeah, it does. It sounds cool. We have extended. I can't get that page. My browser's being slow. I believe we have extended universe now.
We do. Yes, yeah. Expanded universe. Paul, you want to do a future fight update?
Oh, that's from last week. But there is a big update. Right. They did. They were a major part of the Comic-Con presentation from Marvel because they sponsored it. So if you look out there, there's. I don't have the patch notes for it or like notes from it, but there's a lot of information about upcoming features and an interview with the director on the game and everything.
You glazed over a big thing there that everybody needs to hear. Because we've talked about, and there's some emails coming up, some expressing pleasure, some displeasure, and everybody's concerned about the future of this game. This is a iOS game, Future Fight is. And while we know you can, according to Candy Crush, make billions of dollars off of something simple, that's usually a one-off. You make some money, but you'll make tons. For them to sponsor the Marvel presentation at SDCC is a huge investment of resources. So that says a lot about what they're putting into this game, I think. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
So Disney, since you own Play-Doh, you should have had Play-Doh sponsor that or gave them the money to sponsor. I mean, you let an outside source sponsor, which is financially smart.
But who knows what the sponsorship agreement would be, right? It may be that they just make a lot of money from people buying stuff in that game. So by putting the final or the Future Fight branding on, up in the top corner of the window, maybe they get people attracted to that game and they get people spending money in it. So who knows if Netmarble actually did fork over any money or if it was just kind of like more of a different arrangement. Other piece of expanded universe news, Marvel Experience. This is the thing that I went to out in Arizona last year, where you basically go to a S.H.I.E.L.D. base and you train yourself like S.H.I.E.L.D. agents do and you see what it would be like to have powers like some of your favorite characters. That has been canceled. It is over and done with. No more. No more of that. Let's see. This was announced about a week ago, a little over a week ago. And they were They were in Philadelphia, and then the remaining dates that were scheduled for Chicago, New York, and St. Louis have all been canceled, and people who had bought tickets are getting refunds. So they didn't offer any explanation about the cancellation, but obviously I'm guessing it. They just weren't making enough money. They were getting some negative reviews and things. I mean, like, you know, I even talked about how it's something that has a little bit for everybody, but not a lot for everybody. So I'm okay with it not, you know, I'm not too disappointed that it never made it through Denver for me to go a second time, because I probably wouldn't have. But Marvel Universe Live is still a thing. That's the stage show, and that I think is still has still got dates all over the country. But that's well, that, a
go ahead. No, you're good.
There was another tidbit here.
Yep.
Popped up in chat. Marissa Tomei has been cast as Aunt May in the new Spider-Man movie. Too much discussion about whether she is appropriate for Aunt May.
Is it official yet? I knew that she'd been, they'd been in talks, but has it been?
I believe it was announced.
Oh, cool.
Could be mistaken.
Okay.
Also, to touch back on something from last week, Marvel Dice Masters Age of Ultron, I mentioned that it was coming out last week. I was mistaken. It comes out this week. And there is an update over on the WizKids site about the fact that it was misprinted. So there's a couple card clarifications over there on that site, as well as a numbering issue for just set numbers and stuff. Not a lot that really affects the functionality of actually playing with the pieces, but it just some confusion aspects there because WizKids is not good at quality control.
Was that in their little asterisk subtitle? We just suck at quality control.
No, that's just an observation as being a longtime customer of theirs. But because we had an issue with the last set, the Justice League set as well, where they misnumbered things and didn't. It's just they don't have any oversight, and they need to have some oversight. So there's that. That's all I got for Expanded Universe news.
Cool.
Marvel Universe Live, still lots of different shows announced around the country. So Denver coming in January of next year. So I'm still going to see it there.
I'm very, very disappointed that the Marvel experience didn't work out, because I really wanted to take my older two kids to it and
go
myself and seeing it.
For sure.
Yep. But, you know, it was an ambitious project that didn't seem to quite, from what you were saying, didn't quite make the brass ring that they were shooting for.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more, but it was just enough. And I think for me, sadly, the gift shop was one of the best features of it, because it was stuff you couldn't buy anywhere else there. But that's probably what they were banking on as well. Maybe they didn't sell as much of that, of the swag, as they wanted to.
I'm sure that stuff will show up somewhere.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
eBay.
Well, probably Marvel Universe Live.
Collector's Core. Collector's Core. There you go. Come on. Come on, Marvel. You know you want to. So, all right, we have some From the Field now. We have changed the format of From the Field a little bit. Ibit, you're great at explaining these things. If you'd like, I'd love for you to explain what we've done now.
Be brief. That is all.
Also, beyond that,
what we're doing now is, because we get these emails that are very long, kind of diatribes, and while we love the fact that you guys put so much color into your emails and description and kind of extra scene setting information, it adds to a lot of time on the show, and it keeps other emails from being able to get read. Like, we'd end up reading three emails, but then we'd have six other emails that we wanted to get to that we couldn't because of time. So if you want to increase your chances of an email getting read, be brief, be to the point. We're still probably going to go through and just edit out pieces of information that maybe aren't relevant or anything that we feel like needs, could be that the flavor of the email will still be there, even though the content might be less. We won't edit out things if you're calling us out and being critical of us. Mm-hmm. At least I won't.
No, I wouldn't either.
No promises. But so we'd like to read more emails from more people on the show. So if you do send in an email, try and keep it to a paragraph, 10, 8, 9 sentences, somewhere around there. because some of the things we've been getting, honestly, are like 2-page long emails. And you don't want to listen to any of our voices unfettered for that long.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Whenever I hear that, I hear David Federer.
Okay.
But basically, it all contributes to us tightening up this show so that we have time to record the other show and other projects that we have going on. The goal, because we've gotten some feedback about, and I don't know if you just said this, Brian, because I was paying attention to something else for a moment, but some of the feedback we've gotten
when we talk for a long time, you lose interest. Exactly. Case in point.
When we go off point for the game, some people don't care for that. So most of that content is going to shift over to the new show. So if we're going to talk about expanded, that show is essentially an expanded universe show. And this show will go back to its roots of being mostly a MAA show. We'll probably still throw some Future Fight stuff in because they're closely related and there's a lot of crossover. But we're not going to do extended, long sections
like this Marvel Universe live thing would have been a discussion that would appear on the new show, or Marvel Experience, for example.
Exactly. So we're just asking that when you write in, you know, if you can be brief, you're much more likely to get highlighted on the show and read on the show, because we're shooting for 1 to 2 emails per person each week, depending on time. And we're going to read them. You know, we're going to discuss them briefly and move on. If you want to send in some of the more colorful, longer stuff, that's fine, too, because we'll feature it on the website still.
Absolutely.
So people still see it, you know, and people will be able to comment on it. But if you really, like, have something pressing that you really want us to discuss on the show, the real way to do it is to go short, you know, quick and to the point. And that's what I got. So
there we go.
All right. Well, let's get into the first email. This one comes from Agent Fleming. I did edit a couple. You'll be surprised when you hear how long this is. This one is. I actually edited like 3 paragraphs out of this. So, but I did keep his the content. Greetings, helicarrier triumvirate. Signed, Agent Fleming. So let's go ahead and discuss that email now. And all right, no, never mind. The joke just completely fell flat. Greetings, helicarrier triumvirate. I do not write terribly often, but I've been thinking about this issue for some time and wanted to address it to the entire podcast audience. I play MAA every day and put in the hours to be competitive within the game, and I'm a super Spartan, although it's hard for me to think of myself that way. Since joining the community of players, I've managed to be consistent in reaching Adamantium level in the last 4 PvPs. I have all the characters and have all but the most recent to level 14. I feel the game has reached a point where it has more good days behind it than in front. Ever since the server migration, it feels like the game has been going downhill. We all assumed that the migration would be a good thing and showed promise for the game, but what if they migrated from a bigger server to a smaller one? Ever since that point, we seem to have a never-ending string of bugs, be it PvP, the daily missions for a while, collecting and removing allies, uniforms, and weapon sets. My impression of the game is that it's undersupported, understaffed, and is being left to wither on the vine. I do want to stress that I still love the game. I love the strategy of it. I love the different team combinations we can use and how the different team members work together. Above all, I love Marvel and her characters. I want to play games using these characters and stories that require strategy. Even if they don't fix the thing with this game, I'll continue to play it. The rub is that it can no longer support the game financially with good conscience. Mm. I feel like it's reaching the end of its run, and to give money now is just throwing it down a hole. There are a number of things Playdom could do to make the game more enjoyable. In the end, however, I believe the only real next step would be to shut down MAA on the Facebook platform and relaunch it somewhere else in some adjusted form. I would hope they would do something for long-term players if they did, but at the same time, I'd understand if they don't. Games come and go all the time. We don't get back our money just simply because the game ended. If they found a better platform and were giving the resources and staff to make a better game, I would probably still follow them, even if I had to start at the bottom once again. Signed, Agent Fleming, FTH.
I have to agree with him. I know we've had that discussion before, and I said, what if they came out with MAA 2? And the resounding from both you guys and the audience was, no, I would start over now would be horrible. I get that. But so I kind of get where Fleming's coming from, and I think I would say if somehow they went to Steam and said, you have to start over, but we'll incentivize you. And whatever, you know, it'd have to be a good incentive, too, because to start from nothing would probably, I probably would not play very long. Sure. But to start with some kind of incentive, tying in my Facebook account to Steam or whatever, and saying, okay, we can't port, because that's what they did with Playdom servers. They could not bring all the characters and progress you made there to Facebook, but they did give you compensation in gold and CP to help you get along and level up faster and get the characters faster than if you just started a Facebook account. I would play. I know a lot of people wouldn't, and I think that's probably what's holding Playdom back from launching that kind of endeavor, because sure. they would lose a lot of people.
There's some speculation going in the email that, you know, that Playdom is coming crashing down, or this game is kind of is starting to fail. I think that if anything, we've seen in the last few weeks that they're actually sticking to a tighter schedule now than they have before. We easily could have seen PvP, the start of the new PvP season delayed because the end of the last one got extended. And I think the fact that it started right up again as soon as the other one closed speaks to a new schedule that they might be adhering to. Same with Spec Ops. One Spec Ops ends, another one begins, in this last case, Spider-Verse to Ant-Man, very quickly. So I feel like there isn't the drought right. that pointed to staffing issues and developer issues that we did see probably 6 months, 3 months ago. Maybe they've tightened things up. Who knows? We're still seeing CVs. I mean, Adrian Fleming's right. We're still seeing a ton of bugs in the game. Personally, I would love to see them move off of Flash. I don't care if they move off of Facebook. And if Facebook were to be more supportive of HTML5-based games, that would be a great way to go. I'd be fine with it staying on Facebook, because you do have that social part of this game that still kind of is required for parts of it, or at least leans on the social aspects of it. There's other ways they could do the ally gifting. There's other ways they could do messaging and stuff like that in the game. Future Fight is a good example of that. But if they were to relaunch this as a straight-up iOS game or a straight-up Steam game, right now I probably would jump right back into it. I mean, I feel like they've done enough lately to give me a lot more hope and stability faith in their scheduling and in their devotion to this game. And having Justin Woods talk on as part of SDC and talking about Chapter 9 coming and talking about Spider-Verse Part 2 and all that stuff, it definitely speaks volumes as far as what they are putting into this game. I don't know if I didn't see any Contest of Champions content at SDCC or Spider-Man Unlimited content. They probably did have Spider-Man Unlimited. They still do love that game. But the fact that they did make some time to talk MAA definitely gives me some faith in the game. Paul, how about over to you on your feelings on this?
Well, I mean, you've pretty much said everything that I feel. I think they're definitely coming around with the content that they're putting out recently. They're putting it out on a regular basis. That's a good sign. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, I don't know what's going on internally for them, but I think they've renewed my faith a bit. As you just mentioned, there's still a lot of bugs. I'd like to see them really address some of that stuff. But I'm open to a platform change as long as data got slittle, you know, moved along. But I do worry that they would lose a lot of people if they moved away from, you know, the current Facebook attached Flash platform. But I don't know. It's a really tough issue. It's a lot more complicated than it sounds just by saying, hey, let's just swap platforms. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really the whole thing. But as long as they just start taking this game seriously, I'm really interested to see where things go. They've ramped up that release schedule. Things seem to be much tighter now. There's still issues, but it's better than it was a couple months ago. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. we were going large stretches of time with really no information, no spoilers at all, no news on when new content was going to hit. They weren't always hitting at this, you know, at X time and stuff like that. So this is a step in the right direction. So yeah, if they keep in this vein, my faith will be renewed, and you'll hear a whole lot less belly aching from me in the coming weeks.
You know, you mentioned Contest of Champions, and my first thought was like, is that game even still going? Because it's a possibility that it's not. Just because right, I don't play it doesn't mean it's not a great game. You know,
sure.
It's a big thing there. I think it does say a lot that they're announcing more characters, more stories. Okay, so while it has been done in the world of games and of business where they'll announce something great going on right now and won't tell you, like right behind that they're going to cancel it, it does feel like as long as they're creating new content, the game's going to keep going forward. I don't think it's crashing and burning. I think there have been a lot of issues since the Great Server Migration. And even then, they had to do new servers on the Facebook side, and that was a big deal. But I'm with Ibit. This last couple of weeks / months where Spec Ops came out, and then PvP came out, then Spec Ops came out, then PvP. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a nice chunk of pace. It's a good pace. It feels good. For the most part, at least Spec Ops are well-rounded, well-written. They work. PvP is always going to have an issue because it's a whole different beast. I mean, when you get that many people actively playing at that time, there's going to be some issues, but I think it's going well. I think it's growing. It's going to be, and I'm the hopeful guy too. You know, I think it's going to be better. You know, the zombies are around, but I think it's going to be better. It's going to be okay. You know, there's a sunshine. There's right. All right, Agent Cyborg writes in. This is all his writing here. And this was originally a lot longer, but after reading it over, I decided short and sweet was better. Firstly, PvP has been a lot more fun this go round. Secondly, for those having trouble with Pesty Beast and Enchantress, the Caltrop launcher has been working wonders for me against those teams. Mm. Interesting. Locks out her ability to load up dots and bleeds Pesty Beast quite a bit. Lastly is a question. What does a damage from dots like bleeding and burning scale from? It seems the more health the other team has, the more dot damage there is, regardless of attack power. Is this my imagination? Thanks, Agent Cyborg out. Ooh, Klotzy, man, you're the numbers expert. What do you think?
I do not know.
Yeah, that's I've noticed that too. Like healing's the same way, right? Healing's a percentage. I'll see another team use the light fantastic, whatever it's called. And their numbers, their green numbers instantly are bigger than my green numbers when I use it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's based off of percentage of health and how much you can heal. The dots, that's a really, really good question. Maybe even Nikolai could write us a book on that. We tease Nikolai, but he has a lot of great information. he really has an interesting mind.
Don't encourage him.
But the Caltrop launcher, I never even thought of that thing.
That was a boss reward. It was a Spec Ops. It was Spec Ops 25, a weapon you could win from the boss. Yeah, but it was not part of the set.
I think I have it.
I just checked. I don't, unfortunately. It's an all-enemy attack, and it gives two rounds where any melee attacks cause bleeding to the attacker and immediately hemorrhage. And it also makes puts Shaken on the enemy, so they're unable to use ranged abilities, which is huge. That's a great weapon. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really cool. It's not so great against the Null Kurth team, but definitely would take Enchantress down a peg. You know what I meant.
Yeah, take her down a peg. Yeah.
So, all right, Klotz, you're up.
We have a letter here from Agent Sketches, but he made fun of my new show's name earlier, so I'm just not going to read it now.
see, people, you got to be careful.
I'm kidding. I'll read it. Though this is short novel length, so I warn you guys. I could not edit this one. It's too flavorful. Okay. If that's the right word, but here it goes. Woo! Sure feels good to be back from the flight deck. What? Another flight mission? No! Well, before you send me back, I have a little something to say to you and the crew. We are already halfway into the year, and so far there have been some lackluster content drops, long durations of anticipation for chapters, alts, and heroes. But from what I've noticed, after the beta ray spec ops, stuff started to get consistent. Since then, we've only had to wait up to one and a half weeks for new ops to be released. Most of the stuff we have been getting is good, and I have full faith in Playdom for that. Can I say that they're doing their best? They could, but they're not there yet. As it has been said time and time again in groups and here on the show, they need to take the push
to tease their content once in a while not leaving us oblivious as to when it can drop. And furthermore, don't cheat on the players that have paid money for things that will mean no value in less time than expected. We have seen and heard the frustration of others, and the money being contributed to help support the game shouldn't downright make it worse. If we pay, it's because we have a liking for the game and we wish to see it move forward so we can enjoy it until it settles to dust. Very long sentences, Sketchy Man. You gotta use some punctuation.
Act like we're all smokers and we have to take a breath every three words. That would be helpful. Yeah.
Now going back to a positive outlook, I was completely flipped over when I saw the patch last Wednesday. The alt for Vision, a glimpse at Spider-Man Noir, everything a geek like me could ask for. So far, as many have addressed, the Age of Ultron Vision is quite powerful, taking reduced damage from range and melee attacks depending on his interface, as well as hitting for some massive numbers. I spoke to Kingfisher about the alt, saying how he wasn't fully impressed that it did not have a certain action he and most others would have expected. From here, some spoilers. If you've not seen Age of Ultron, I suggest you mute. Not you, Playdom. You'll want to hear it. 2-1. So it is quite the bummer that Vision doesn't use Thor's hammer. What I would suggest is they do release the 5th and 6th slots for heroes as well as the agent. You could possibly create fusion attacks with two character-specific heroes.
Nice.
In this case, team up AOU Thor with AOU Vision, and you will have the Vision give a good swing with Mjolnir. Who knows?
Like at the end of the movie. I'm running out of things to say. Are you ready? Yeah, that's awesome.
Who knows? Maybe we can get Klotz's long-awaited speedball special that's a fastball special for Wolverine and Colossus.
I ruined it. I called it the speedball special, and yeah. Anyway.
Why? Don't talk. Say the no proper nouns for you anymore.
Fair enough.
Verboten. On another note, I need some advice since I will not be able to play on game day due to very important matters. I was wondering if you could tell me as to how I could remain in my designated league without being able to play. With that, I want to thank you, Ultimate, Amazing, and Superior, and wish you the best of luck in the tournament. To which ones you are, I will let you figure that one out. Now, since I must, I got to go and show Null how to use the flight deck again. He's still crying over the fact he might not see another meteor swarm again. Agent Sketches away!
Here's a tip on how you can guarantee yourself not to lose on game day. Get 3,000. Get a rating of 3,000. You'll probably be safe.
Yeah.
That's not even a guarantee. Yeah.
Well, that's the only real tip is to leave it with as high a rating as you can possibly get.
Of course, I mean, if we were to tell you to shoot for a rating of X number, whatever the highest number you can get to should be that X number, right? Like whatever we would say, whatever number we would say, just go as high as you can. And that's really all you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of fusion attacks.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be really totally cool.
We see a little bit of that with Hawkeye and Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
You know, where they follow up on each other's different attacks. I'd love to see that with others. I mean, we see that too with the Warriors 3 and their drinking buddies, how they always take a drink together. More of that would be cool.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of unexplored design space for that kind of ability, you know, a bonus for running certain characters with each other. And there's just so many possibilities. I mean, you could do a ton of them.
Sure.
You know, so, and they could even make it something that's not necessarily activated, but something that's like a random proc occasionally.
Yeah, kind of like the Iron Man, where all the different Iron Man suits come in. They could do something like that with some of these new Spider-Verse characters, or not new Spider-Verse characters, but if you use two of these characters that were featured prominently in Spider-Verse, they open up the wormhole
and
a crap ton of Spider-Men, all the different Spider-Men, including Hoodie Scarlet Spider come and attack the other team, just like the Iron Men do.
Yeah.
Say you play with like Ultimate and Superior and this triggers, and then it'd be like calling in the Legion with the gun from the last Spec Ops.
And they do that with Black Bolt, right? His retool.
That would be cool too, is having Granites pop in.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a bunch of them coming in like Iron Man's ability or
be great.
The gun.
Yeah.
That would be and they just come all swinging in and like somebody stops and shoots the webs and the other ones are swinging through and then they're just gone. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Spider-Ham and all of them.
It would be great.
Just come zipping in.
That would be fantastic for sure.
Cool.
All right. Any tips of the week this week?
Just, you know, do all your deploys, try and get 3 stars. You can do 2 stars very easily with one full run of a mission. Just do all the deploys and shoot for overkills. Use team up bonuses if you can. I mean, Rescue and Iron Man is still a great combo to use if you really rack up the Iron Man, Unibeam. Because it does some great overkills and that ranks up the points. You can probably, there's guides online that you can use to find ways to do 3 stars in a mission by using that team up and really racking up the overkills. And do that because we know there's the tasking at the end where you have to 3-star everything. So it saves you from having to use 150 ISO roughly to go through one of the missions twice.
Yeah, and that's the only one. So my tip of the week would be the only mission you can do ahead of time is the stars. If you do 2 stars or 3 stars ahead of time before it's required, it automatically counts it. So when you get to that, it just comes up with a green check and moves on versus any other stuff. You could use Hank Pym all day long in battle, but until they ask you to, it won't count.
It won't matter. Yeah, and that's why it's a good time, you know, during the research, if you haven't 3-starred the earlier 2 missions, go back and do that while you're waiting for a research to finish up, because there's no other reason to go back to one of the old missions unless there's an epic boss in it. But otherwise, there's no other reason to go back to it. So go clear them out. Go, you know, get them up to 3 stars while you're waiting for research, and that'll save you one extra step of waiting when it gets to that stage.
There you go. All right, here comes the man with the information you need.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast and Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss has fled.
What'd you guys doing that on the show? I missed.
Away!